Ooh, guess what? Okay, so I'm doing a live episode of my podcast today. It's February 12th. It is live episode of Why Won't You Date Me Day and my sister's birthday. I keep saying it because, you know, you try not to forget things. Anyway, I'm doing this episode with Heidi in Closet, a wonderfully fun drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. And if you can't watch the stream live, listen up. You can watch it anytime for up to a week. After the ticket link is in the show notes, and listen, I think it's gonna be fun. Who knows what wig I'm gonna wear? I will be in a lot of makeup because that's like my whole thing. Okay, see you there, but I won't because it's weird and virtual, and also we're gonna do questions and answers at the end. This is a long promo. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single. It's also about other things, too, because 2020 was a wild year. But I'm trying to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could break all of the vases in my house and I would go, huh, I guess they belonged on the floor. So my guest today is a dancer named Teddy B. Ruxpin. Teddy, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.
I was telling you before we started that, like, I came across, my friend Dan sent me your Instagram live that you had done with your friend Honey Lestrange, and you were talking about like performative allyship in the dancing community, in the sex work world, and you were talking about like calling people out and how they were like reacting negatively, and I just thought it was so interesting because I was like, I feel like in every little niche pocket of like what people do, everyone's having kind of the same problems.
Especially in sex work, I think.
Yeah. How long have you been dancing?
I have been dancing for about like 5 years now.
And did you start in LA? Are you from LA?
No, but I started when I was in LA because I moved out to LA when I was 18. I left LA like at the like mid last year. I snuck out. Oh, okay. Honestly, I didn't tell anybody I left. I just kind of left. And I was like, surprise, I don't live here anymore.
I mean, it must be fun to just Irish goodbye a state. Goodbye. Yep. I'm not coming back.
No goodbye parties. Just kind of dipping out.
I love it. I wish I could do that, but I love attention so much that I'd be like, when I moved to LA from New York, I was like, so I have to have several goodbye parties and say goodbye to everybody. And then I got a job in New York, so I was just back there almost immediately. It was so dumb.
But the attention you get from leaving and not telling anybody is just as good, because then you start getting a slew of texts that are like, wait, where are you? You're gone. I miss you. And you're like, haha, yes. Farewell.
I fucking love that. With dancing, like being a black dancer, What is it like? Is like the racism overt? Is it, are you the one black girl in a club? Your eyes just got so big.
Yeah. That's a conversation we've been having in dancing for a while. Sex work is appearance-based. I think it's shallow to act like it's not. It is. I mean, no matter what your appearance is, you are selling the way you look. First, before you are selling your personality. And even if you're selling it to niches, you're still selling the way you look. So with that stuff, the isms of the outside world can be really, really magnified in sex work, especially as black dancers, because clubs tend to be divided into what are known as like black clubs and white clubs. You'll call it that because that's what you have to call it based on the girls that they hire. And so there are like mixed clubs in the middle, but the thing is, whether you're at a black club or a white club, as a black dancer, you still have to fit an archetype. So you're kind of like damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if you are like a black dancer at a club that doesn't really hire black dancers, you can't really be like black enough to make people uncomfortable in that sense. You have to be, like, always really, really polished, always really, really put together. You have to look consistently better than every single white girl you work with. Otherwise, you won't make any money. And then if you work at a black club, you're kind of expected to always pander to, like, the, like, stereotypical, like, players club image of, like, a black stripper. And so in both cases, there it can be, like, really restrictive. You don't feel like you have a lot of, like, room to wiggle, because I found my niche eventually, but it was very hard and it took a very long time and it took years of, like, rejection from clubs and rejection from customers and rejection from other dancers before I was able to carve out, like, places I can work and, like, people who, like, liked me and would, like, you know, like, follow me to different places. Because when I started dancing, I wasn't just, like, black. I was like, I'm cool, edgy black. I like metal and stuff. I'm different. Like, I noticed as I became, like, as I leaned into that more, certain stuff did, like, kind of close up for me. Because also, like I said, you have to fit an archetype. And customers don't necessarily always like a dancer they can't understand within the first 5 seconds of meeting her. So that's why you'll see girls who are like rock girls. Like, I'll name for an example, I don't know if you know this dancer, Malice McMunn, because he used to come to Cheetahs.
Yes.
Malice loves Bay Area gangster rap. That is Malice's favorite genre of music. She almost never dances to it because she's a white woman with a mohawk and she knows what people expect of her.
Interesting. That's so wild.
Yeah, she's like, this is, that's not going to gel with their image of me. And so people want you to be really digestible in sex work. And it's a give and take where you understand that and you play into that. And so, like, as I started getting, like, more and more tattoos. And I think back on it, and I did have dancers who went, are you sure? Because it's going to get way harder for you when you get them. And I was like, no, it won't. And it did. They were so right. They were so right.
That's so... Huh. I mean, I guess that makes sense because, like, black clubs, I don't think I've ever been to a black club. I've only been to, like, white clubs where there's, like, one black dancer, two black dancers. But, like, from TV... The tattoos are very, like flowers or, like, it's, like, you can't really, like, you don't see a lot of variety.
Yes.
You don't see, like, you know, horror tattoos or, like, any, like, full sleeves or anything. It's just, like, you know, a thigh tattoo, a back tattoo, maybe one arm. And that is, it is interesting that, like, the aesthetic is so different. And it's weird that customers aren't, like, I don't know. Let's see. Maybe I like what they serve. I think it'd be really interesting if Malice, you know, danced to, like, fucking rap music, like, with a huge mohawk. I would be like, huh, this isn't what I expected. But, like, okay. But I get it. Like, people are like, they like what they know. They like what, you know, that's not weird. Then they don't have to think about it. It's like, it's just easily digestible.
Yeah. So as I got more tattoos, I had to lean into it and I had to, like, go to work, like, wearing all black, like, my heels got taller. I will say the benefit of it is I got to get meaner, because when you're, like, an alternative girl, people expect you to be a little bit bitchy, and I was like, oh my god, excellent, this is my favorite part, this is so good, I love this, yes, fuck you, you can fuck off, I don't like you. But I would notice that on nights where I was like, I don't know, I wanna play some Drake, people would be like, no, we don't like that, because that's not what you do. And I was like, oh, okay. I misbehaved. I'll play some Marilyn Manson. I'm sorry.
How has it been transitioning from, like, live performing to performing online?
Really fucking weird, but really fun at the same time. It's fun because I think, like, you get to get a lot weirder in what you do. You don't have to be as conventional. You can play with, like, lighting and angles and, like, set and costumes and all this other stuff.
What's the weirdest thing you've done?
Oh.
Or the thing that you like the most? Like, what's your favorite online performance that you've done?
I've done a couple weird ones. Let's see. I did a couple where I, like, attached my phone to the ceiling and did, like, bed sets. Those weren't that weird. Those were pretty fun. I did do one where it was Carrie themed for Halloween. And at the climax of it, I turned my lights off, covered myself in fake blood, and then held like an LED light up to certain parts of my body. So you could only see like flashes of me and the fake blood at a time. I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah, that's fucking cool.
And then I ate a whole cup of noodle in a Naruto costume for one set.
I think I saw that one. That one was funny. We were like giggling about that. Because I watch with like my friends in like a Google Hangout. That one was, I thought it was funny. I like when people can balance like being sexual and then funny. Because I'm like, I love a good bit. I love to laugh. This is great.
Yeah. I mean, I used to eat all the time at Cheetah's. So I wanted to give an homage to what used to be my thing in person, which was eating on stage.
Did you work at Cheetah's after, because they like changed owners or something like last year?
Yeah.
Because I hadn't been in a minute. And then we went last Thanksgiving, walked in and we're like, wait a minute, mm-hmm. This is not the Cheetah's we know.
Do you want, I mean, there's some drama around it. Do you want to hear it?
Of course I do. Yes.
So Cheetah's didn't change owners. They changed management. They gave over management of the club to the guys who ran VLive LA. And the girls at Cheetah's found out about this because the weekend before, they were like, hey, we're going to close for 2 weeks for renovations. But don't worry. You're going to get your job back. Don't worry about it. You're just going to be off for 2 weeks. And then when you come back, mm-hmm. you'll still work here. And we were like, all right, cool. And then we got a group text message on Sunday that was like, hey, so I'm sure y'all have heard there's going to be new management. You're free to talk to new management about employment opportunities. But as it stands, come pick up your last check on Tuesday. So they fired us all for text.
No fucking
for
way.
For the new management.
You can't. This is so fucked up. I was talking to AM earlier. And do you know AM?
Yeah, I love AM.
Yeah, and she was telling me about like paying the club before you dance and stuff, and like there's just so many fucked up things about strip clubs that like just aren't regulated, and like it's so insane to fire a bunch of people via text message.
Yep.
That's so disrespectful. It's truly so fucking wild.
It was so bizarre. I feel like no one like really believed it happened when it happened until we all went to get our last checks and they were like, yeah, that's it. And we were like, oh, okay.
It was also jarring because we walked in and we were like, we don't know any of these people. Who are these people?
Because they wouldn't hire any of us back. They were like, you guys can, we never said that you got fired. You can go and be hired back. No, we couldn't. They literally wouldn't hire any of the old girls back.
That's so fucked up. I hate that. It's rude.
It was the worst. It was because they didn't want to, they got tired of paying us minimum wage because we were employees at that point and they were over it. So
are they not paying the girls minimum wage currently?
No. When they redid it, what they were doing was they were having the girls sign contracts that said that they weren't dancers, but that they were models.
What?
That they were getting paid in tips to be there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. How fucking... This is so fucked up. I wish... I mean, I don't know. Like, who's the manager that you talk to that's like, this isn't right? It's so fucked up.
It is. I mean, I don't even know where the management of Cheetah's is now. As far as I know... I'll say his name. Nick moved to Miami, but I don't know where Bobby is.
What's it like auditioning to work at a strip club? Do you like walk in and you're like, and you just dance? Is it? Yeah, right?
Pretty much. You walk in. Well, it's good to call ahead of time, but that's that doesn't always work because they may change their mind when they see you. So the first test is if you ask if they're even taking auditions.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they are, if they don't like you, they'll say no. And you go, okay, cool. Either way, doesn't matter. And you get back in your car and you go home or you go somewhere else.
Damn.
But if they say yes, you're like, all right, tight. Where do I go? They tell you where to go. You go in the dressing room. You put your clothes on. You tell the DJ what song you want. And then you just do your best for 2 to 4 minutes. That's it.
Have you ever had a bad audition?
Oh yeah, I've had a couple.
because I've had terrible acting auditions where I'm like, well, I know for a fact you're not going to hire me. I don't think you'll ever see me again.
Yeah, I've had some where I went and then just halfway through getting dressed, I just had like an existential crisis where I was like, fuck, I don't want to work here. So then I just kind of like flopped around on stage and I'm like, I know I'm not giving my best. I know I look terrible. I know you guys are not impressed right now. And then I just leave and I'm like, I know you're not going to hire me. I'm just going to go.
I'm just going to leave. I just came to like, I don't know, work out for 4 minutes. Goodbye. Did you learn how to pole first or strip first? Does that make sense? So, like, did you know how to pole dance before becoming a stripper?
No. Here's a fun story about AM, actually. I took two pole dancing classes before I started stripping. Both of them were at Luscious Maven, where AM used to teach. And this is years before AM and I met each other in a professional capacity as, like, dancers and soldiers of pole. And she does not remember this, which I think is so funny. But afterwards, I stayed after to talk to her because she mentioned that she used to be a dancer. And I was with a friend. This was a friend I started dancing with. We're not friends anymore. It happens. And I was like, hey, we're looking at like becoming strippers. What classes should we take? And she looked at us and she went, don't take any classes. You'll just learn as you go. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, okay. And she was 100% right. If you're thinking of doing it, do not take any classes. Just go dance.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, kind of the same thing with stand up. You can take a class, but like you'll learn the most by just going to open mics or going to shows and looking how other people craft jokes and being like, I guess this is how I do it.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of figure it out as you go along. You mentioned Soldiers of Pole. What's that?
Soldiers of Pole is a strippers advocacy group. We used to be union focused, but now we're in a transitory period where we're kind of reevaluating what we're about. But it basically is like a stripper advocate group made up of a collection of strippers and some cam girls and full service sex workers. We're trying to expand to be across like the spectrum of sex workers. We just do shit for strippers. We'll do like know your rights things where we're like, hey, these are your rights as employees. These are what clubs can and can't do. We did multiple like mutual aid initiatives through the year where we called it like stripping for strippers, where we would strip and then collect the money and like distribute it to like sex workers we knew who were like single mothers or people of color or like on the verge of eviction. Just anything we could do to like help out.
That's like truly so incredibly wonderful that like your community seems to really like take care of each other in a way that I'm like, more communities can do that. Like people could put money back into their communities and whatnot and just like help a little bit more, since like the government has been like, we will not help. That's just something we don't do. So sorry. It's crazy to me. It's crazy that we as people have to do shit like this. But like, what a beautiful thing. Like, that's really fucking incredible. I love that.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. I've gotten way more, like, mutual aid and money from, like, the sex worker community than I have from the government or anyone else during this time. So it's been really helpful.
Which is fucking insane. That's crazy. We're, like, in a pandemic and you guys are like, all right, well, let's just fucking do it ourselves.
We're all we got.
Oh, boy. Real quick, we gotta take a break. So Teddy, this is like a love and relationship podcast. So like, I got to do my due diligence to talk about love and sex and shit. Are you single or are you married? Are you dating? What's your status?
Oh, I'm dating. I'm not married. I'm just dating.
Okay. Are you dating through the pandemic? How's that been?
It's been pretty chill. I got out of like a long-term relationship at the start of the pandemic, which was really fucking annoying. Absolutely pissed me off. Because I was like, cool, I'm single. Hello, everyone. I had a, no joke, I had a list that I had been like accumulating over the years of people who were like, who I was close to or who I was attracted to, who were like, hey, whatever you get out of this relationship, please call me. Like, this is not a joke. This is not a drill. I think you're very cute. And I was like, okay, cool. Time to hit up this list. And then we're in a pandemic. It couldn't happen. But what was nice was there were a couple people who I, like, developed deeper relationships with. I'm not doing monogamy right now because, no, why not? Why not not do that?
Yeah, why not? It's 2021.
Yeah. But there are a couple people that I am, like, really close to. And at various points during the year, we did manage to have some safe contact.
That's so nice. I've had no safe contact with anybody. It has been awful. But I did, was gifted a, dislocated my ankle and I was gifted a Theragun. And I learned a Theragun's not too strong for my pussy. So that's a nice thing I learned.
Yay.
Oh, the pandemic needs to end. I'm so tired of this pandemic. I hate it so much. It's truly awful. Is dating hard as a sex worker? Like, do you run into people who are, like, just, like, incredibly jealous of what you do and, like, just, like, not good at, like, coping with it?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Are people who are like, yeah, totally, I'm fine with it. And then they are not fine with it. So I find I typically end up, if anything develops with anybody, it's with someone who has either dated a sex worker before or, like, has been a sex worker themselves. I found at that point, mm-hmm. those are the only people that stuff tend to work with. Either, like, one of the people I talk to now used to run their ex's cam shows. So they were mm-hmm. like, yeah, I get it completely. I used to be, like, moderating my ex's chat room and being like, hey, don't give that for free. So I was like, okay, you completely understand kind of, like, the line between, like, business and, like, pleasure. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people just legitimately don't get it, which is so confusing to me because to me it makes perfect sense. But I don't know.
I mean, I feel like it makes sense, too. But then I guess maybe not. I don't know. I guess a lot of people, like me personally, sure, I talk about comedy and, like, acting or whatever with, like, my actor comedy friends. But, like, if I'm talking to somebody who's not in the business, I can fully have a conversation with them. And I think there's some people who identify their job to be their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, there is no separation. Have you seen Soul, the Pixar movie?
I have not. I heard it was very cute, though.
It is very cute. And the main character, I'm not spoiling anything, he's just, like, really obsessed with jazz. And, like, part of it is, like, you're more than just this jazz obsession. And I think a lot of people have a very hard time moving past, like, they let their jobs define them, where it's like, no, what are your interests? Like, do you have a hobby? Like, what do you love? Do you like a horse? Like, maybe you're a horse person. I don't know. I think people have a hard time with that.
That's fair. I think the difference is in, like, in sex work, you'll find a not as super strict, but a stricter, like, cut between, like, your professional life and your private mm-hmm. life. Like, one of my favorite stripper culture things is that you know you're close to a stripper when you know her real name. That's how I've always, like, known I've become someone's friend is when they've, like, hit me with their government. And they're like, mm-hmm. we can hang out, like, outside of this context. And you can see, like, me in my daily life, which is, like, my government name versus, like, Sapphire.
Mm-hmm. How did you come up with your name? I mean, I understand it. It's the 80s teddy bear.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Teddy was a labor of love. I came up with it when I first, oh, gosh, I think back on myself as, like, a little baby stripper. And I'm like, oh, you're such a little clown. But when I first started dancing, I had, like, a little list of names I wrote out. And I was like, I'm going to try every one of these. And then the first time a DJ asked me, I just blanked. And I was like, Teddy, because I used to work at a 20s store in my teens, and me and my coworker were like, let's come up with, like, 20s names. So that was the name I had then, and I just, like, it stuck, and every time mm-hmm. I thought about changing it, customers, other dancers, and DJs would be like, I've never met another dancer named Teddy. You should just keep it. It's kind of, like, your mm-hmm. thing now. And I was like, fair enough. And then one night when I was at Cheetah's, there were, it was a party night, and there were a couple girls there with last names, because usually in the dancing world, if a dancer has, like, a last name as her professional name, it means one of two things. Either this dancer does burlesque or they do porn. Those are mm-hmm. typically the main reasons you'd have a last name. And so the DJ, because there were a couple of dancers with last names, was just assigning last names to anybody, everyone, because he thought it was funny. And he was like, hey, what about yours? And I was like, I don't know. What about, like, Teddy Ruxpin? And he laughed, and he was like, haha, like the talking teddy bears. And he was like, I think it needs something else. And I was like, put a B in it, because the B stands for B. Because the B stands for bear. And it kind of just, like, stuck ever since.
That's honestly very funny. Teddy Bear Ruxpin.
Yeah.
You know, like the bear. That's very funny.
It's my brand now.
That, I didn't realize that strippers usually only have one name, and then burlesque and like porn actors have a first and a last name. That's funny.
Yeah, it's a really interesting like cutoff. I first learned that when I would, because before I danced with burlesque girls, I danced with girls that did porn. And I'd be like, why does she have a last name? And then other girls would be like, Google her and you'll figure it out. And then I'll be like, oh, good for her. Keeping that branding going. I'm good for her.
That is so interesting. Maybe, I don't know. I was trying to figure out the reasoning. I was like, maybe they have last names because, and then I couldn't figure it out. And I was,
it's inconvenient to be a stripper with a last name, honestly. Unless you have like a performance brand, it's unwieldy.
You're right. Because it's just like you get announced and you're on stage and it's like, well, we don't really have time to get through all your names. Just get on stage.
Yeah.
I wonder what my stripper name would be.
You got to pick something fun and sexy.
I mean, maybe like Fluffy? No. I don't know. I think I would just use my full government name, which probably isn't smart.
That also works. I've danced with a lot of people who have used their full names.
So maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah.
How long was your relationship that you were in before you broke up?
5 years.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's such a long time. I can't imagine being in a relationship for 5 years. I've never been in a relationship. So like 5 years seems like such a long time.
It was 5 years with a male comedian from LA, so I've done time, to put it that way.
A male comedian? I wonder if I know them.
Probably. We'd probably also like run into each other at shows. I know also part of his stand-up bit used to be, my girlfriend's a stripper, which, fine. But then I would, like, go to shows and people that I didn't know would be like, hey, you're a stripper, right? And I was like, oh, how do you know? How do you know?
Did you have a problem with that joke? I think I might have. I think I would have been like, you can't do that. Don't tell people what I do before I get a chance to tell them.
Yeah. I don't mind people knowing. I would just rather be the one to tell so that I could gauge the situation and be like, this is a person I can tell this to. Or just, I'd rather you not know this about me.
Yeah, because you don't fucking know how people react to things. People are fucking insane. They're truly just so fucking wild. So with you being single now, are you on the apps? Have you ever been on the apps?
I have been on the apps. I hate the apps. I, like, get on the apps during, like, extreme lapses of horniness. And then, like, 2 days later, I delete all of them every time. I can't handle them. I hate them so much.
They are truly awful. I'm on all of them. The ones I'm on now are, oh my God, Tinder, which truly has been not good. Like, Tinder has been so bad lately.
Cesspool.
And then I'm on Raya, which is bad. Bumble, which is, like, fine. Hinge, which is, like, okay. I, like, matched with this man on Hinge. I want to read you the conversation because it was very, it made me laugh. Oh, wait. I was looking up glory holes, and I found a one in Berlin. Okay. So, I'm like, I've been looking for lady glory holes. I can't find any in, like, the United States, but I found a couple in Berlin, and then I was like, I can't go to Berlin right now, and the reason why I want the glory hole is because of COVID. But anyway, this is what this man said to me. He said, this was New Year's Eve. He goes, you're available tonight? And I was like, available for what? He was like, a New Year's kiss. I was like, bro, we're in a pandemic. I'll kiss you through a computer or meet you at a glory hole, but no kiss. And then he said, we could get a COVID test today. However, your glory hole suggestion is more of a 2020 mood. And I was like, where are you getting COVID tested where you instantly know the results that you didn't pay for? Like, sir, those tests are like $200. Like, what? What? It made zero sense. And then he promptly unmatched me. And I was like, okay, this is probably for the best.
your horny level and his horny level were at two different points.
Yeah, like I'm horny, but like not gonna put myself in danger for some mediocre dick that I don't know.
Yep. And he very much is willing to put himself in danger.
He was like, I will fucking die for some pussy. And it's like, it's not that serious, my friend. You don't have to do that.
It's really not worth it. Just buy like one of those eggs. You'll be fine. It'll pass.
So are you still doing online shows or no? Like, has things slowed down? What's going on?
No, we're still doing online shows. The show I do, we went on hiatus for like a month last year. But we have reappeared. We're back. We're back in better than ever. We're back in gaining steam.
And this is Cool Cats?
Yeah. We are back. We're going to be doing more shows in 2021, which I am happy about and terrified for because we only have three producers. So we're all constantly working. But oh, it's okay. We will survive. We're going to be doing four shows a month, two Friday shows and two Thursday shows.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to be running the Thursday show. I don't know why I started laughing.
I love that you're laughing because I feel like you're thinking about how much work you're going to have to be putting into this.
Yeah.
And like talking about it is like one thing, but like actually like executing it and doing it is a whole nother thing.
Painful. Painful. But the Thursday shows are going to be our weird like art house, art school shows. I was told by the other producers. It's like they're like, it's you and the other like weird bitches we have on the show. You get to be as weird as you fucking want for the Thursday shows. And I was like, great. It's not going to be sexy at all. No sex. Just weird.
I mean, I like that. I like that there's different, you know, there's like little niches in sex work. It's like it could be fucking weird as shit or it could be like very, very sexual. I lean towards like I like the middle. I like it right in the middle. Like it's like, ooh, this is a little weird. Ooh, it's kind of sexy. Ooh, okay, whatever. I like it.
Yeah. People pay for weird. So, like, people don't think about it. They don't realize it. But people will tip for weird. When I used to eat chips at Cheetah's, those were always the nights where I would make the most money. Especially because I would just sit there. I'd be like, I'm going to take a little break. Don't look at me. I'm going to eat this bag of Sun Chips. I will dance. But first, I need a snack. And people were really into it.
I think it just speaks to a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, I love it. Just, I need a little snack and then I'll fucking do it. But give me my snack first.
You know, I'm like, but first I need a little break. I need a second. I need to refuel. But then sometimes people would like throw money in my bag of chips and I hated that. Because I'm like, I actually eat these chips. Like, it's not a joke. I'm really going to eat these chips when they get off stage. Why would you do that?
That's fucking rude. It's like, don't put money in the bag. Just put it on the fucking stage. I'll get it.
Cheetahs was like the least rude club, but people would do weird shit like that all the time. They do that. People would like try to eat my chips, and I'd be like, I don't know you. Get your hand on my chips.
People have boundary issues, I feel like, everywhere you go. Like, I don't know what would possess someone to be like, I'm going to put my hands in this stranger's chips. But I guess it's like, well, you're performing for me, so like, you're mine for now. It's the same thing with comedy. Like, when people meet you after, they like, will grab at you and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know you. I know you think you know me because we just spend an hour of me talking to you. But like this, it's not like the barriers are all down and do whatever you want to me.
Yeah, people do that a lot in stripping. And I'm always like, hey, no, you got to pay for that. Like you can do it. Mm-hmm. But as I always say, I'd be like, nothing's free. People are like, can you do this? And I'd be like, can you give me some money? And then we can talk.
Yeah, I think it's with a lot of artistic things that people fucking are just like, oh, it's artistic, or it's like, I don't think, to me, there was no skill, so it's free. It's like when people, like, when you try to commission art, and you're like, how much? And they're like, 2,000. You're like, for this? And you're like, yeah, it took time. I created it. You want it. That's the price.
And they're like, are you sure? And it's like, well, can you do it?
Yeah, you get up on this stage and you do it. It's like, you gonna make any money? Probably not.
I've only said that, I think, like three or four times dancing, but every time it's been so, so satisfying. I got meaner and meaner the longer I dance, which I think happens. As you'll know, a dancer has been dancing a long time because she doesn't feel like she has to be nice to you, which is very cool. It's my favorite thing. But I used to work at, before Cheetah's, I worked at this tiny little dive bar in the valley called Star Garden, which was another in the chain of like fun rock dive bars, like Cheetah's and Jumbo's. There's also Star Garden, their little indie cousin in the valley, which isn't cool anymore, but was very cool when I was working there. I was there at the end of the heyday, truly cresting the wave. And one night, I was dancing, and there were a group of ladies off stage who I guess had just returned from a pole class. And they were watching every dancer. And then as we went up, they were naming our move and then like rating them by degree of difficulty.
Oh.
And it was just weirding everyone out. Because it's another like dancer, pole dancer thing. But strippers don't have names for the moves we do. That's only in the pole dance world. I don't know what to call any of the things I can actually do. I don't give a fuck. I've been to other dances and be like, that thing you do where you like wiggle your leg and you do, how do you do that? And then you kind of do like finger movements until you both realize the move you're talking about. And that's how you learn it. And that's fine. That works for us. And so the ladies are like, oh, that's that. I can do that. We did that in class last week. But they also weren't tipping, so it was just extra insulting. Because they were, like, just watching, not really paying, but, like, rating everything and being like, I could totally do that. I don't think that's that hard. And so I think it was, like, the third time I'd gone up with them on, they'd been pissing every girl off, but they're all like, I don't know, I'm not going to say anything. I had a couple drinks in me that night, so I was like, I'm going to say something. So I got off the pole and I stomped over to the edge of the stage where they were. And I was like, if you think it's not that hard, you can do it. And they like got really quiet. And I went, no, 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 here. And then I took off my pleasers and I put them on the tip rail. And I went, look, if you wear a 9, you can put these on right now. You can borrow my shoes. Go ahead. I'll tell the DJ to play a song for you. And you show me what you've got because you can do it so much better than me, apparently. And then they left. And I was like, good. Get out of here.
I fucking love that. Also, I didn't know that in stripping that you don't have names for moves, which is funny because I dabble in poles. I'm not very good. But I'll like post something and be like, is this a thing? Did I do something? And then in the comments, like a ton of pole dancers will be like, it's called a da-da-da-da-da-da. And it'll be like 3 or 4 or 5 different names. And then like a stripper will comment and be like, it's something. I don't know what it's called. And it's just very funny to me.
We're like, names? What? That's also why when I would like talk to girls who like do pole dancing, they'd be like, oh, cool. So can you do with this? And I'd be like, a what? And then they'd show me and be like, oh, yeah, of course.
How long did it take for you to get good at it?
Forever, honestly. I mean, I will say, once you get good at it, you only get better. But I'm sure in my head, it took shorter than I think it did. Mm-hmm. But for me, for such a long time, I felt like I looked awkward, even when I probably didn't. So in my head, it took me like 3 years to not be like completely inept. But it's, I mean, you learn on the job. I think it's better to learn on the job because pole dancers and strippers dance differently. Mm-hmm. Very, very differently. You can tell when someone has taken a lot of pole dances before they came to stripping. Even, like, the way you move is different. This isn't to say pole dancers aren't sexy or they can't be sexy, but strippers are sexier because inherently everything we're doing is meant to look hot. So you're very, very conscious of every single movement and the hotness, not the strength or the grace, but the hotness of it. That's the basis. That's the bottom line. Also, you conserve. Strippers do a lot more moves that conserve energy because I've noticed with like pole dancers, you have like really, really complex combos. Everything you do on the pole is really slow and really graceful. Mm-hmm. But for strippers, it's I have to do this shit at least 5 times tonight. And it has to look as good every single time. So I'm not going to do all of that because this is going to be repeated. I'm not going to be like, look at me gently ascend the pole. Like, no, I'm going to do stuff when I get up there. Don't worry about me climbing up there. But it took me so long because when I started, I didn't know any pole stuff. I just did a lot of floor work. And then what helped was, for one, I'm cute and my voice is high pitched. So other girls thought I was cute, which very much helped. They were just like, "You're a baby." And I was like, "I am a baby. Please help me." But then also I was just willing to like take an L constantly. I would go up to girls who I knew didn't hate me and whose dancing I really like, specifically girls who had really similar body types to me. So I was like, this is realistic in terms of what I can do. And I would be like, "Hey, I really like that. Like, how do you do that?" Or I'd be like, "Is there something you think I'm like doing wrong?" And I remember there was this one girl, and I admire her for this. I think about her to this day. She looked at me and she went, "You would be way better if you like figured out how to do a transition." And she was like, "You're really awkward. You'll do something and you'll stop. And you need to keep going." And my friend was like, "That's really mean." And I was like, "One, no, that means this girl watches me," which is incredible, because I didn't think she'd ever met me before in her life. She was so pretty. I loved her so much. But I was like, "Two, that was legitimately really, really good advice." So I spent like a month working on like transitions. I would come in and work day shifts when it was really slow, just so I could bother the girls on day shift into teaching me a pole trick. So they'd be like, "There's no one else here. Can you please show me how to do this?" And the rule is, as long as it's not someone's like proprietary move, as long as it's not the move where they didn't necessarily invent it, but they're like the only girl at the club who does it, because everyone does have like, not to make it like a fighting game, but everyone does have like a move.
What's your move?
I have two. I kick the ceiling. I used to kick the fuck out of the ceiling at Cheetahs. I kick the ceiling and I do this thing. I think it's on my Instagram, but I invert all the way and then I tuck the pole in my hips. That's the only part of my body touching it. And I put both arms behind my back. And then I wiggle my legs so it looks like I'm walking down, upside down.
Wow. That's fucking cool.
Thank you. Someone stole it and took it to Jumbo's. And then she told me she stole it. And I was like, "Why would you tell me? You could have just taken it. Why would you tell me you stole my move?" That's so weird.
That is funny that she's like, "I stole it. Sorry, I'm not going to stop."
Yeah, she was like, "I took your move, sorry." And I was like, you could have never mentioned that and I would not have known. But now I do know and I'm annoyed about it. But yeah, I would just hassle girls and I'd be like, "Please, please, 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 just teach me how to do this." And they'd just be like, "All right, but you can't be afraid to fall." And
have you ever fallen off the pole?
Yeah.
Like from a high place? Have you seen the video of the girl who falls from like the top of the fucking pole?
Yes, and she broke her jaw. It's terrifying.
She broke her jaw? I didn't realize she broke her fucking jaw. Oh my god.
She broke her jaw.
She truly kept dancing after. But I guess you're in shock if you like have that hard of an impact.
Plus everyone falls at least once. It's how you fall if you try to like not make it as bad. I've fallen. I just always play it off. Act like I meant to do that. I'm really into, I mean, it's my fault. I'm really into doing drops, like suicide drops and nosebreaker drops, which are so named because if you fuck up, you can fuck yourself up. Mm-hmm. And I do know there was like one nosebreaker drop I did at Cheetahs where I very much overestimated the floor and like smacked like the wall, bashed my face in. But then I just like looked up and I was like, "I don't think anyone saw that. I'm just gonna keep going." Everyone act like they didn't see that.
My god, that seems painful.
It is.
I've only fallen off the pole once in you do a pole sit and then you lean back and then you just hold it like, and then you cross one of your legs over the pole and over your leg. I think I tried to do that and I did it for like truly like maybe 2 seconds and I was like, "I think I got it." And then my body was like, "No, bitch." And I fell and I had a mat like around my pole. Thank God. Cause I climbed a little bit and was like, "I'm going to do it from like a high place." And then, I fell real hard. It hurt.
It does. But then you just kind of
shake it off and go, "Well, let me try it again."
There's a reason strip clubs are all in red light. You do not want to see what our legs actually look like at the end of a shift. It is bruises galore.
How did you learn how to walk in heels? Or was that something you just could do?
That was something I could do. I had a heels phase in high school. So I was already pretty decent at it. But I just, the trick is with pleasers is you just have to wear them constantly before you wear them to work. When I buy a new pair, I wear them around the house for at least 2 days just to do mundane shit. Like I play video games in them, I do laundry in them, I cook in them, I use the bathroom in them. Oh. Just to get used to it.
I'm not good in heels. They're hard. They're hard. They're so hard to walk in. I can't do it.
It's okay. They're hard, but you get used to them. And don't think that, like, strippers don't fall. We fall all the time. I think in clubs, stable, beautiful. Everyone's graceful. The second I was, like, outside on, like, a surface, like, going outside of Cheetah's to smoke, just Russian roulette. I could have hit a cigarette butt and just completely gone. And also, everyone falls, like, at least once or twice. You're good.
I've fallen in heels just once. I'm, like, very, very careful. I walk very slowly. It's the least sexy thing you'll ever see. And one day I'll get good in them. I don't fucking know.
You will. And then you'll just, like, start wearing higher ones and higher ones. And once you go higher, you never go down. Like, I can't wear under 8 inches now when I wear pleasers. I typically stay anywhere between 8 and 10 because those are my favorites.
That's insane. 10 inches. That's so big. And then heavy.
Yeah, 10 inches are the ones they sell with the warning that you're not supposed to dance in them because they don't want you to sue if you break your ankle. But it's fine. I'm 5'8". I'm really, like, not even that tall. But in 8-inch pleasers, I'm, like, 6'2". Mm-hmm. And in 10-inchers, I'm, like, 6'5". I love it. It's my favorite thing to sit down and have a whole conversation with a dude. Sitting down, and then he's like, yeah, let's go for some dances. And I'm like, let's. And then we both stand up, and I'm just like staring down at him. Like, are you ready to go? It's so funny. I love it so much. They don't like it. I love it.
Let's. And then you just, like, keep expanding. You're just so tall. Like, that's so fucking funny. let's see. So I'm a single lady. Do you have any advice for me to, like, find somebody? Like, how are you good at, like, flirting? Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, you're probably very good at flirting. What's a flirting trick that I can use?
Oh gosh, that's a good one. I don't know. I feel like it's good to be off the cuff. You're a comedian, so you know. I think it's best to be as funny as you possibly can. Being funny really disarms people. Okay. And they, like, never see it coming. I'll also say, this sounds creepy, but it does work. If you, like, mirror people, like, mirror their body language, people really, really like it.
Oh, interesting.
Also, if you're trying to get something specific out of someone, look in, like, the direction you're trying to go. Don't make it, like, super obvious, but do it, like, a couple times into the conversation. And they will look over there and they'll start thinking about it. Because, I mean, as a dancer, I would, like, just, like, glance at the dance room and dance back. And I try to do that, like, 3 times at, like, 3 random points in the convo. Because by the 3rd time I did it, the dude would, like, turn and look. And I'd be like, good, now we're both thinking about it.
Wow. So flirting is just subliminal messaging.
Very much so. It's just mind control.
This is great. This is actually very, honestly, this might be the most helpful thing that anyone's ever told me.
You're welcome. From a professional flirter.
Yeah. This is fucking fabulous. What's, like, a good opening line to somebody on a dating app? Do you have any?
No, I was on dating apps mainly to hook up. So I was never really very, like, clever or cute. I don't know really good openers. I usually just ask people if they want a fun fact because I'm just loaded up with really stupid fun facts.
Okay, so if I said, yes, I want a fun fact, what would you respond with?
I would say, did you know that penguins have knees? They're folded up inside of their body.
What the fuck? Is that real?
Yeah, penguins have knees. My little penguin skeletons.
That's fucking wild.
There you go.
Oh my god. What a That's fucking a good treat. I didn't know that. That's very now I have to look that up. That's I don't know how I feel. Yeah, it's a treat.
Once you think about it, every time you see a penguin, you're just like, what if you stood up?
Oh Okay, well, I ask all of my guests this because we're towards the end, but would you date me?
I would date you.
Ooh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
I do. So as I mentioned earlier, I have an online show I produce with two of my best friends called Cool Cats Online. We do shows every first and third Friday and every second and fourth Thursday of the month. So if it's a Friday or a Thursday, you can catch us, come hang out with us. We dance, I get really drunk and say a bunch of other fun facts. And it's always a really fun time.
I can attest, I've been a bunch of times. Also, I think it's like only $10 or $5. How much is it?
The tickets are $6.66.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's fucking cheap and it's fun. 6666. And then what is, do you want to put your Instagram out there for people to follow you?
I do. You can follow me on Instagram at teddyb.ruxpin and come say hi. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it. You can subscribe. You can leave me a nasty message in the iTunes or fucking Apple Music review. Or this person DM'd me. They said, Nicole, I want... Oh, and you have to like hit on me and say something nasty. So this person said, Nicole, I want to lay on a table. I want to lay on a table and have you sit on my face while I eat your pussy till you come so hard you levitate like David Copperfield as you lip sync Jump in the Line from the movie Beetlejuice, as you rain pussy juice down like a mighty hurricane. Thunder in the background as you float back down. Your body quivers and pulses of orgasm ripples through your body, and a priest stands by praying for our souls and blessing our ministry as I'm covered in holy water from a fountain from your beloved pussy. Praise the Lord. Did a bunch of water emojis. Honestly, this one's very funny. So thank you very much for sending this one to me. Okay, bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.